Ready? Good evening, everyone. Would you welcome to our village board meeting? Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Welcome to our Tuesday, January 17th, Alloway Village Board meeting. We will call our meeting to order. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Green is excused. Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Trustee Deutsch.
Here.
We are going to make one change to the agenda. We are going to scratch under closed session the last paragraph that says Wisconsin Statute 1985-1G. We will not be talking about that this evening in closed session. Any other changes to the or proposed changes to the agenda? I will accept the motion to adopt the amended agenda.
Move to adopt.
Second. Second by Trustee Harris. Any discussion?
We leave it.
I didn't think you wanted to. Okay. There's a request to move the discussion on wildlife management up. So, and that's number 11. We will move that up to... Well, we like to keep people in the room. We will move it up to 5A. After action regarding the TDS utility project. Okay?
Okay. Reflected in my motion.
Thank you, Trustee Sampson. And Trustee Harris?
Okay.
Seconded by Trustee Harris. We have a motion to adopt the amended agenda in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. On February 5th, there's a recurring event known as the Cerugi's Valentine Run. It is a fundraiser, and it is being held at Green Isle, I'm guessing. So there's the map where it's being held. Anyone who wants to participate, it's the Cerugi's Valentine 15K Run Walk is an annual winter tradition, starting and finishing in De Pere at Cerugi's Chocolate. The 15K course travels north along East River Corridor, on the roadways through Green Isle Park and back south to the De Pere location. And that sounds like fun. If you want to learn more, I'm guessing you can call Cerugi's. It is election season, and this spring we are going to have an election for village trustees. Three positions will be open, and we have four candidates running, and in order that they will appear on the ballot are Jim Genrich, an incumbent, Charles Lederman, Matthew Harris, incumbent, and Christopher Sampson, incumbent. Thank you to all for your willingness to serve. 3C, promotion of Jason Wolf to parks mechanic. Chris.
Yes, thank you. Wanted to announce that we have promoted Jason Wolf from a parks maintenance position to a parks mechanic that we had an opening for. That as of January 1st, he started that role. And Jason's been with the village for 11 years now. It was an exciting opportunity to give him a promotion, and now we are seeking to fill the parks maintenance position, and we have that out right now and looking to get that filled within the next month.
Great. Thank you. And thank you to Jason for his service, and looking forward to his continued employment. D, Crossing Guard Appreciation Week is January 9th through 13th. So as you're driving around and seeing our local crossing guards who make sure our children get to school safely, wave at them maybe. Don't stop, don't honk, but thank them for their service. 3E under announcements, notice of spring primary election. There's going to be a spring primary election across the state February 21st. And on our ballot will be that of the Justice of the Supreme Court. There will be 1, 2, 3, 4 candidates. And the top two, I believe, will go to the general election. So February 21st, mark your calendars for our spring primary. Any other announcements from my fellow trustees? Any announcements from staff? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 4 under public comment. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jamal Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I have quite a bit of experience on Alloway history. And in addition to the 150-year anniversary of the town of Alloway, I'd like the village to celebrate the 200-year anniversary of the founding of the state here in Alloway by Alloway residents. So the very first residents in the state, the very first American residents in the state, purchased land here in Alloway in 1817, so 205 years ago, and that would have been Robert Irwin. His family then built the mansion known as the Murphy Coles Estate, and Senator Murphy is now our representative. So his family's been here for 205 years. So I'd like to celebrate the founding of the state by Alloway residents. And for example, we have the very first recorded subdivision, which include Iroquois Avenue and what is currently Lazar, and that's where the first courthouse was 200 years ago, this year and next year. The first schools, over the first town 200 years ago with 3 schools, 2 churches, and that time, 200 years ago, we were 3 times larger than the city of Chicago. So Chicago had 1 store, we had 3. So the and then the people who started the stores in Alloway then went off, and the courthouse and all the attorneys then went off and started new cities such as Madison, Wisconsin, De Pere, and Green Bay. So the 200-year anniversary, which is going on right now, which would also include the 200-year anniversary of the first highway and the first intersection, that's all going on right now, 200 years ago, and kind of what killed Alloway, which was started out as what's called Shantytown and then Menomineeville, was the Indian Removal Act of 1830, which was opposed by our Judge Doty, who was one of the residents, and he was the first progressive in the state, first federal judge in the state, youngest federal judge ever. And so lots of things going on, so I'd like to see a celebration of the 200-year founding of the state, because Brown County was half the state at that time through the portage, and it went from the portage to Lake Michigan. And so we lost 60 miles. We gave up Chicago to become a state eventually, and we gave up the UP, which was all opposed by Alloway resident Judge Doty, but he lost that fight, and he went off to become a governor of Utah.
Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak on something that's not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we'll close the public comment. Item number 5, action regarding TDS utility project, locating of storm laterals, memorandum of understanding.
I'll take that item. This agreement has been bounced back and forth between TDS and Village of Alloway attorneys, and it now has been completed. there were some legal things in this document that they were in disagreement of, or they have come to terms with the language provided. The best management practices that were outlined when we met with TES are in this agreement, with the purpose of to avoid and to locate existing labs. So the contractor has been doing a better job of doing that, and this has finally been finalized, and it's ready for the village's signature.
Okay, you have any questions? Okay, I will accept the motion on this item.
I will move to approve.
Trustee Benrick, do I have a second?
I second.
Trustee Atwood, any discussion?
Just to confirm, so the village attorney has reviewed and signed off on the document, correct? Perfect, thank you.
And you guys are satisfied with the agreement?
Yes.
We have a motion to approve the MOU with TDS in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. The old number 11, the new number 5A, discussion under or regarding wildlife management. Mr. Fuller.
Thank you. So we do have a few residents here tonight that came to listen, and we've maybe talked about this item. But this subject came in front of the village board late last year regarding deer population specifically. And since then, staff has met with our humane officer as well as connected with the DNR to look at what can do, what we cannot do. And part of that discussion has expanded to all wildlife management. So there's someone here tonight to talk about turkeys as well. So we do have Sheen here, our command officer, and kind of turning over to him to lead the discussion. But Shane's been working with Chris and myself on this.
So okay, great. Thank you. Welcome, Shane.
Hi, thank you. I met with Chris and Trevor, kind of go over, we talked a little bit about the deer management, some ideas, you know, that other municipalities are using, Village of Howard, City of Green Bay, they've got programs in place for allowing hunting in certain areas, like city-owned or village-owned areas. Restricted to just strictly bow, no firearms. You know, they have different policies that people have to follow. They have to apply for the license. It's kind of a first come first serve, kind of a lottery in a way. They get set up specific times that person would go into the area, so you're not overcrowding it with a bunch of people. So you got one person, they get this area from this time to this time. And I believe Green Bay has got pretty much the same kind of setup. Policy is a little more in depth with their rules and regulations. They've got a lot more land that people are allowed to hunt on. To try to answer questions as good as I can from my knowledge of the programs that are in place. Just try to maybe, come up with a resolution to help with the overpopulation of deer and obviously turkeys. There's a very large overpopulation of those we're dealing with it in Howard right now. So
those rafters. And I believe I read if we were going to do anything, first you would want to get a count. How would the whole thing work?
Right. In our conversations with the DNR, they gave us some options on what the village could look at doing, but to begin the whole process, the best management practices to find out how much you have out there. So to do a count, typically that's an aerial count where you contract that out. Somebody does flyovers. Usually in the winter time, easier to see the deer leaf off, things like that. So understand how much you have within a certain area, one of those locations, you know, where those animals are located. Also in conjunction with that, residents contacts, you know, people calling in saying, you know, we've got deer in this area or that area, which we've kept track of over the years, so we kind of know where those locations are. Quite a few of them are specific to either the riverine corridors on either side, the East River, the Fox River, or in the southern part of the village down by the Abbey area. For lack of a better term, the Abbey's almost like a farm. You know, it's crop fields, things like that, perfect habitat for deer. So, but that would be one of the first steps we would likely want to look at, is find out what we have all there. Other possibilities that the village may want to look at is, you know, utilizing tools that are already out there that we already have in place, i.e. No baiting or feeding of wildlife. We already have that ordinance on the books. It's just a you know, something that we would need to make sure that we follow up on complaints, things like that, so that people aren't encouraging, you know, the wildlife in residential areas. Other things, state law, there's an act in state law, Act 71, that allows archery hunting on private properties, which I think we've talked about before at the village board level, that allows homeowners, residents, anyone to hunt on private property with archery equipment. However, there's a stipulation of you have to be so far away from an inhabited building. 100 yards is what is put in place at the state level. A lot of communities have lowered that to 50 yards, which allows more properties to be able to more easily be utilized for those purposes. So those are a few of the things that in our conversations with the DNR that they said, you know, these are kind of the avenues you want to start to look at with regards to that. So
in talking about St. Norbert as an example, and the residents along Roselawn and then Briar and St. Francis, those residents wouldn't be able to hunt on their land because they're 50 yards from something.
Would not be able to hunt on their own land or on
Correct.
The Abbey land?
On their own land.
They would if they had permission from any resident, you know, adjacent to them. So okay. Part of that law is you need to have either be outside that distance or have permission from those property owners. So
all the property owners within 50 yards of your property you need permission from?
Correct.
In that example?
Correct.
And are turkeys the same as deer when it comes to that?
I haven't seen any programs for turkeys in place in any of the municipalities. I was in contact with the DNR and the USDA. They can come out and they'll actually trap. The USDA will come out and trap, aggressive turkeys. So that has to be an aggression, you know, issue. Talked with the humane officer in Green Bay, Mallory. She's they're doing a project right now with USDA to capture some turkeys that are aggressive. But there's a cost involved in that would either, you know, a resident would have to pay or the village would have to pay to you know, get rid of the turkeys. So basically they would trap them, they euthanize them, and, you know, use the meat to, you know, donate it off. But they really have to be, it has to be a kind of an aggressive, you know, issue. Otherwise, the biggest thing is taking the food source away. Once the food source is away, they're gonna leave that area. So bird feeders, there's things that people can do to deter the turkeys from bird feeders. especially in the winter time. Once all the snow goes away, the turkeys will disperse because they have other areas to find food. But right now, when they're snow covered and stuff like that, they're going to go where they know they can find it. So there could be 40, 50 of them in backyards because they've got a source of food for them.
Is it allowed by state statute to, if we wanted to, hunt turkeys?
I'm not sure. State statute.
I believe so. In Act 71, it doesn't specify type of animal to hunt with archery equipment. So I would believe that incorporates any animal that would be on your property.
Okay. Trustee Sampson.
I want a little clarification or maybe a little more precise language about what we're talking about, because there's hunting and then there's culling. And let me walk through this. Under hunting regulations statewide, there's a gun deer season for a week, 10 days in late November. There's an archery season from September through December. Or January.
Yeah, the end of January in the grid.
And under the current rules, even if you live within municipal alleyway, if you've got this big tract of land, and I don't know how many we have, you could legally put up a stand and maybe you can't discharge a firearm, but you can use a bow to hunt deer right now, today.
Correct.
These people who are having problems, but truth is, that's a big, even at 50 yards rather than the hundreds we have, I don't know how many would be able to do that. But then there's also, and I wouldn't call it hunting, there's culling, that you get a special dispensation from the DNR, that the municipality can run a program where you harvest deer, and it could be gun, it could be archery, probably would be archery, but could it be either, and it can it be any time of the year? I think it can.
I know, like for Howard and Green Bay, it's certain periods of time that they run the programs, so it's not year round.
Not year round,
right?
But it doesn't have to. In November, maybe people are still walking the trails or out in the woods or using the parks. You could do it right now, or in March or something.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's a culling program. But we'd have to get permission to do that. Okay. Yeah. So two different things in a hunting season. I don't know what it is for turkeys. There's not a turkeys is really regulated. It's like a week in spring and a week in fall, and so that's maybe not realistic to have urban hunting under the statewide. And you say there's no turkey culling programs that you're aware of.
Yeah. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Thank you.
And I was going to say, I think if you use the method of calling, you need to hire specific individuals. Is that correct, Chris? It's different than a hunting season because
right.
You're hiring a professional to come in. And
I don't know enough about the culling process that I don't want to give wrong information on that. But from what I've read and information that in talking with the DNR a little bit, that it is more of hiring a contractor to come in and do specific harvesting of that animal.
Yeah. I'll share the example from working for UWGB 15 or 20 years ago and being their publicist, and the deer population on that square mile of campus, which has a lot of woods arboretum, was like 50 deer. And the statewide average or the neighboring farmland is like 10 deer per square mile or something like that. It's just a magnitude order. And it was a problem because they're trying to establish this arboretum and replant these expensive native plants, and the deer were wiping it out. And the people who lived on the edges, again, it was like a farm. It was a sanctuary. But then they went out, and when they had enough to eat at our place, they went out to the neighbors. And we worried a lot about having culling, and we set it up for the month of April, or maybe it was late March, less traffic. Those trails get used a lot there. And archery, people, it got a lot of publicity. Some people are anti-hunting. Some people are really pro-safety, worried about. But because archery, they're up high. They shoot into the ground, and there was enough room that they were far enough from trails. Never got a complaint, and they took a lot of deer, but nobody ever saw it. And the other thing, it's whether you can bait them or not. and draw them in, and they're stationary, and you get a kill shot because you don't want a deer running away across the highway or into the schoolyard, you know, that's wounded. Bad for business, bad publicity. And never had a problem with it. And it's something that people just accepted, and it was pretty successful, although more deer just come in. That's true. You've got to really be. But anyways, so I have that familiarity with it. I don't know if Alloway is comparable. UWGB is kind of isolated, and there's a lot more woods and grasslands out there, so you can do hunting pretty easily on that property. I don't know about, you know, how color would go and where it would be in this village, but that's you guys. So, thanks.
Any other questions at this point?
Would we track, like, tags? Like, people would have to come in and buy tags to, like, bow hunt or deer hunt? Or, like, if we changed our order in this to the 50 yards, would, like, how would we track that? Like, the residents would be responsible for cleaning up if it's in their yard. And then we can't have, like, deer on the side of the road.
Right. If the village would go the route of just shortening that distance up but sticking with the Act 71 rule, the village would not necessarily have to do anything. It would be, you know, hunting by DNR rules during DNR times, seasons, and things like that. If the village wanted to go the route of a culling method, then you could set up a program like that where you would, could, you know, have to have people come in, get on a registry, get tags, you know, whatever. However that program was set up.
So we don't necessarily have to have people, like, have their bow license to go do, like, honor code?
No, they have to have an actual...
Then how would they dispense of it? Like, how do we have proof that they have their bow license?
They would have to present that when they're, you know, applying for a permit.
Oh, okay.
They have to have an actual, you know, Wisconsin hunter's
sure.
license. I know... Looking at Green Bay's program, they actually have a PDF on bow. Not safety, but proficiency with bow hunting. You have to follow these specific key points. So they have to be through, you know, have the hunter safety, have a hunting license.
Matthew,
I don't know if we would be able to research it or not, but I think Trustee Sampson made a point that got my attention in terms of the, if it's a municipality-sponsored event, for lack of better words, and a deer is wounded as a result of this activity, and then there is some sort of accident with a vehicle, is there a extension of liability then? I don't know how it works. It just popped into my head, so I figure we should at least see if we research this further what other instances of, you know, we just use other people's history and experience to learn more about it ourselves.
Most of the deer are on the South Corridor and then along the East River, I'm guessing.
Okay, so I'll give you a little more history.
We had another count.
Yes.
Not too long. I mean,
2010-ish, maybe it was even
before my time. Yeah.
Might have been before that. Where the village, Eshwabanon, and there was another, Bellevue, I think, all went together on a grant.
Yep.
And we did the earth survey.
Yep.
And I'm trying to remember. So bear with me. That the numbers that we counted in Alloway at the time were anywhere from the mid-80s number to the low one teens. So a lot of deer in a pretty small area. We saw some turkeys in the area. I got to go up with them, so it was interesting. But, I mean, there were definite pockets within the village that could really hone in on where they were located.
Okay. I know there's folks who want to talk on this topic, so I will make a motion to suspend the rules. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Deutsch. We have a motion to suspend the rules and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Who wants to talk on this topic? Come on up.
My name is Katrina Gitter. I work at The Encompass right up here at 1823 South Webster Avenue.
Okay.
I'm the lead center director up there. And I just wanted to speak upon the turkeys a little bit. Not recently, but more towards like right around the season where they, you know, are hunted and things like that. We had three very aggressive Jake turkeys. I know they're Jakes because my husband's a hunter. I'm not really a hunter. And we had instances where they were pecking at people's vehicles in the parking lot, chasing the mailman, and just really very aggressive. And I just worry with the little children that we take care of up there that one of them would attack a person. Because
mm-hmm.
I saw them literally chase the mail cart up the hill. So I don't know what else we can do to help. We don't have any food sources out. We put up coyote decoys to try to get them away from the building. We'd rotate the decoys and they would just keep coming back.
Really?
Now, lately, it's just they walk through, but there are a lot more of them. I want to say at least 20 to 30 that live kind of right over here in this little lull behind the psychiatric center. And they'll come up almost every day, routinely by like 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, they'll be running through the parking lot.
Still today. Okay.
But they're not as aggressive as they were at that point, which I would say was like November, October. I'm actually one of the people's vehicles who got damaged by them. But, I mean, I'm more worried about the safety of the kids than I am about myself. So.
Thank you very much. What kind of damage did they do to your vehicle?
Like chipping paint, scratching with their feet. What we think they were doing was trying to figure out their pecking order. I talked to my husband a lot about this. We think that that's what they were doing was they were looking at the reflection in the darker vehicles and pecking at the vehicle. So I ended up with about $400 worth of damage to my own vehicle. And we don't have, I mean, it's not covered, it's just an open parking lot. But my fear is when I saw them chasing the mailman, I think about my little 2-year-old kids that are at my center, like running out with, and then all of a sudden here comes a turkey and it's aggressive at the point. So that's just my main concern. I just don't want to see anyone get attacked or hurt.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm sorry, my sidekick is not here tonight. Sarah is home with the flu, so.
Send her our best.
Yeah. I'm Kay Clausen. I live at 451 Arrowhead Drive. I will speak to the turkeys. They can be very aggressive, and I've seen them be aggressive when I'm biking on the bike trail. And I have one of those low rider bicycles. So, I mean, they're pretty close. They come right up to you. If there's a group, 8 or 10 of them, they have no intention of getting out of the way. You will stop for them. They will pass.
Mm-hmm.
I had the same thing happen on Riverside the other day. They were coming up by the old St. Norbert's president's house, and they came up through there, and there were 10 of them. Traffic was stopped in both directions. Because they were not moving, people were tooting, and they're looking at us like, I don't know what your problem is. But that's the way they are. They're just not, they really don't care. And also, I have a second floor, what we call an airing porch. So it would be perfect for people with their bow and arrow. And we have deer sitting in the backyard back there the other day. Two deer sat in the neighbors. There's three lots that come together in the corner there. They sat there for most of the day, sunning themselves. It was a day that we happened to have sun. So I'm just looking around, and it's not a problem. And I was like, oh, I wish I knew how to shoot a bow. I mean, I could take that up in my old age. I have a couple of other questions. I know that people go to the Abbey a lot of them frequently in the evening, say between 4 or 5 o'clock, and throw out corn for the deer. You know, come on, that doesn't help. And, you know, I'm personally not going to sit over there and patrol them, but I just think we've got to do something about the feeding. Plus, a lot of my neighbors and a lot of other people have bird feeders, and they really do like the bird feeders. They will go right for them. I have a friend who lives in De Pere on the other side of the Abbey, so he's in that first section of houses. And he, about 2 years ago, they had a count in the Abbey, and he said they counted 50 deer in the Abbey. They're just in there. They look at you like, I don't care, you know, I'm not bothering you. Has anybody ever considered doing any deer birth control with feeding? Did the DNR say anything about that? Did anyone say from the DNR anything about birth control using some kind of feed? Because most of the deer, you see them in the spring when they've had their babies, and most of them have twins. Mm-hmm. So we're just moving this along exponentially.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There are just so many, and they're just everywhere. And spring is coming. Yeah. The gardens. but more importantly, and I also spoke about, you know, what about the deer lice, the ticks and things. If you have small children in your yard, you want to be out running barefoot, I'm sure they're not tick-free. So, okay, well, I will stay on this like an old dog with a bone. And I would love to hear what your plan is, that you will make a plan and be able to move forward with it. I would appreciate that, and I know many of my neighbors and friends would also. So
well, thank you.
Thank
we
you.
Are here talking about this because you came to the village board meeting, so thank you for doing it.
Sure.
Is there anyone else in the audience who'd like to speak on this? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to pick up the rules, seconded by Trustee Harris. We have a motion to pick up the rules in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We will move on to item number six.
Oh, Jim, could I ask an additional question on
sure.
the deer? The thing that would move the needle for me on this, I can see both sides. Some people love the deer, think they're beautiful. And you do too, but there's a limit. The thing that moves the needle is when it does become a safety thing. And I think maybe in your analysis you brought in, is it a traffic hazard, you know, between Riverside, maybe Webster, but also 172. And I think maybe you talked to Officer Vogels about that. Is there any definitive evidence or any indication that these higher deer populations are significantly increasing hazards?
Officer Vogel provided some information on car deer accidents within Alloway limits. And in the last 2 years, in 2021, there were 12 accidents. In 2022, there were 11. I don't know how many were on 172 itself or other locations, but I don't know, Jason, if you can recall.
Majority are usually on 172 or Riverside Drive. So that's the majority, I would say. So.
Okay, and if you hit a deer, maybe that's not the end of the world, but if somebody swerves into oncoming traffic, that won't happen on 172 much, but it could happen on Riverside. Have you seen serious accidents among those dozen, which is a fair number, you know?
I did not see any accident with injuries.
And maybe we're just lucky so far, you know.
So, yeah, and I haven't worked any in my career on Riverside or 172. I can look it up and see if any had injuries. But to my recollection, I didn't see any injuries.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you for bringing that up. I got off that topic just a little too soon. So we're here discussing it. I know St. Norbert, they were hunting on their land a couple of years back. They got a lot of grief from people, and they were having trouble with people against that. another option, seeing that a great source of our deer live in St. Norbert's property. Is there a way that we can work with St. Norbert? And if we were to choose to do that and support them in their effort and maybe work in concert with the city of De Pere for that sort of thing.
I also have another thought. There's a bow archery club within De Pere that goes on hunting bow trips, so they all have their bow license in it. Can we reach out to them? And, you know, yeah. It's an educational thing. They teach the kids how to cut the deers. It's all learning. There's a whole club that does it. Mm-hmm. So that might be an opportunity for other communities all to work together as well.
Good. Any other ideas or thoughts or questions? Should we have staff take a look at what our options might be and have another agenda item on it? Sounds like a plan.
Well, if I could amend that to a question, I guess it's ours to answer, but how many of those streets that are most affected, bordering the Abbey, would be able to participate in the fall, regular fall archery hunt? You know, maybe it's zero because they don't have big enough lots, even if we would go to 50. So if you could do an analysis that if we did go to a 50 yard, would that even help, or would nobody be able to hunt anyway?
Well, according to what he said, if you get permission from the surrounding property owners
to waive it
within the 50 yard radius, you can call that a 50 yard.
Oh, okay.
So if you get together with your neighbors.
President Rafferty, their current law is 100 yards, right. So we would have to amend that in the Village of Alloway to 50.
Yeah. So. Or get a lot
of. I just don't want people to listen to this meeting and.
Good point.
And think that 50 yards is the code.
So currently we would have to get people within 100 yards to agree to that.
So that would be one option, amend it to 50, and in doing so you publicize to the neighbors that, you know, there is an avenue for people who are really concerned to do safe bow hunting from their own properties. And then the culling thing is a totally different and more ambitious project.
Yeah, I would ask staff to come back with our legal options the way they are now for both deer and turkey. And then we can discuss the real options. And maybe in the time being, talk to St. Norbert's and De Pere and see if they're planning to do something. Does that sound like a plan?
Yes.
Okay. We'll now move on to the next agenda item, which is number 6, action regarding ARPA funds request. Mr. Lang.
Yeah, we're going to be discussing additional ARPA projects at the Finance Committee next Monday.
Okay.
But I do have two that I'm hoping to kind of keep moving forward. Number one is our website. It's a little outdated. We use a major refresher. So I'm asking for some allocation of funds in the not to exceed $25,000. Figure out what it is that we want the website to be, and then we can come up with, you know, if it's more than $25,000, well, then we have to come back, but hopefully it'll be less than $25,000. Find out what latest and greatest and the most ease for residents taking off their cell phones and tablets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to move our website. So that's one of the items. The other item is allocating some funds for the 150th anniversary. I think I indicated to the board back in December that I was waiting on verification, is it 149 or is it 150? Because when we split and when we were actually first meeting of the town of Alloway. So I've been working with Heritage Hill. I've got a couple of members that are with the Historic Alloway Society. Emma, our recreation supervisor, been working on some plans. We're meeting again on the 23rd to move this forward, not looking at a individual, there'll be some individual dates, but more or less it's a year-long celebration. So what I was hoping that the board would allocate some funds, and I have no idea what that dollar figure would be, should be, and ultimately where we would land if we got sponsorships to take care of some of this. But some of the discussion that we've had is looking at some sort of branding aspect. So I have spoken with a firm that's very, that's their business, is doing branding. Who have ties to the village, so it's kind of nice to have that aspect. And what we had discussed, if you did a branding, you're not going to want to brand something that's only good for the year, you want to brand the village that's ongoing. So back when we did our website in 2012, that was kind of our new brand, the new logo, this would be similar to that. We've talked about Chris has put together the banners that are on multiple flag or poles around the village, changing some of those out to honor the 150th year and moving forward. So there's a lot of things that could take place within these funds. Working with Heritage Hill, looking at a concert or two in conjunction with what they've had planned, that maybe we are the sponsor and then we enhance that event that particular night to be more celebrating Halloween. Then working with the Optimist Club, looking at changing or piggybacking on the Elway Fest, making it somehow a little bit more grand. What is that? We're still working on that, but all that does take some money to do this. The Bell and Run is already willing to put some literature out, put it on their shirts, celebrating the 150th, so they have some banners as the 9, 12, 15,000 people that come through the village on both sides. We could recognize the fact that we're 150 years. We haven't started to reach out to businesses too much to get a buy-in. It would be nice to every business had a Klingon on their window, you know, celebrating Halloween's 150th. So there's so many different things that we could do. Time is of kind of the essence. So I'm spitballing of, again, $25,000. I don't know if that's too much, too little. But I think, you know, it's not that we would want to spend it all. It becomes that it is too much. But, you know, just something that we can work off of as we talk to Heritage Hill that, you know, if we expand this, this is what we can do. If we evaluate this, if we expand this, this is what we can do. So that's kind of my two requests.
Okay. Matthew.
excuse me. I like and support both ideas. On the website one, I would lean more towards that we, as a board, look to get some feedback from vendors. I'd rather not set a monetary target with an outside vendor on completing a project before we know what's involved. If we give a target, don't know where that's going to go. So I would be leaning more towards we're inclined to authorize ARPA funds for redesigning the website, but let's get at least two, if not three, four bids from companies and then decide what amount would be appropriate for the switchover.
I agree with that, absolutely.
Do you have any? I'm sorry, go on.
I would echo Matthew. That's what I was going to bring up, too. I don't want to spitball. You know, it might be $25,000. Let's get a proposal. Let's get some quotes and see what they have. In terms of the things that are a little bit more timely, you know, like the 150th anniversary and, you know, needing some funds to advance some of those projects, which I would be in favor of that, but not $25,000, but I'd be in favor of putting that ball in motion because that's knocking on the door. But the website, $25,000, I think would be a pretty nice website. So I'd like to see what it would entail.
With the branding, I would also say, well, actually for both of these items, I would agree. If the board is in the mood or is in agreement to support these efforts under ARPA, go find out how much it costs and come ask for it. Does that make sense?
It does for the website. For the celebration, as we work through this, it's nice to have some sort of seed money during that.
Yep, that's true.
Support it, so.
The branding exercise, I would suggest getting quotes and proposals, because branding will have everything to do with a lot more than just the anniversary. It'll be branding that you'll use on the website. It's branding you use on letterhead, on everything. I'm assuming that's what you're going to do with the branding, right?
Correct.
So I would get a proposal for that.
I'll get a couple of those and get the ball rolling.
Were these items on the original request for ARPA funds?
No.
Okay.
As we've been working through with the changing over to the 365 and had an issue, can't get part of the calendars not showing up on our website now. It's just time.
Other communities have done a big fireworks display. Was that not, I don't think you mentioned that, was that not mentioned just because it wouldn't be an ARPA appropriate plan, or is that not on the table?
I think our biggest challenge with any sort of a fireworks celebration is the relationship to 172, where would you go that you're not causing potentially issues?
The river.
Yeah.
You would utilize the river, but people driving over 172, and I'm just trying to where would be the best location.
Is there a law against that?
Fireworks on a highway? Absolutely certain. I do have a contact in the fireworks business that does displays that I can reach out to just to kind of get an idea.
Yeah, I think Ashwaubenon got a lot of attention for theirs. I don't know where they shot it off. They have more area removed from 172. Maybe you can't shoot them off over the GBCI either. I don't know.
Maybe we could use GBCI.
Okay, thank you.
Don't quote me on that.
Yeah. I would just highly advocate for trying to get sponsorships for the anniversary, just reaching out to businesses. If Heritage Hill wants to be a part of it, then they can sponsor the flags. With their name on it, So that would be $25,000 is a lot for the party.
I suppose the fireworks would eat that up in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but they could also donate it.
What my discussion with Heritage Hill is, they're pretty much going to be honoring or celebrating the 150th on everything they do this entire year. Mm-hmm. Very nice of them. One of the other thoughts we have is the opening of Heritage Hill. I believe the official opening day is the first Tuesday in May. Mm-hmm. That we host a village board meeting in the old town hall.
That'd be cool.
As long as it's not 95 degrees out, it'd be all right.
On May 2nd, it won't be.
It's warm today.
Yeah.
Here,
yes, sir.
Just jump on it. And I did appreciate Mr. O'Rourke's comments that it's not just 150, it's that whole historically progressive predates even the 150. It's an opportunity to go further back and say, Alloway's always been a leader in Wisconsin. Thank you.
There was a booklet that was put together many years ago. John Flatley, G.D.
Erdman,
thank you. And a few others have written a book about kind of the founding of Alloway, which is kind of interesting. So that was one of the thoughts that if we were to kind of do that same thing here it was back then, and this is what's happened going forward, and then you could spell sell sponsorships or ads within that booklet. in that booklet, there was the first chairman and the current chairman. So it was kind of a nice little history.
Do we have time to do all of this?
No. We're going to do the best we can.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I think it. If we're doing too many things, maybe we focus on doing something later in the year. Or
That's why, you know, looking at already occurring events and just partnering with those events makes a lot more sense than trying to create something totally on your own. Back in 1973, when they had the 100th, they had a parade, they had carnival down in Green Isle, they had boat races out on the Fox River. But it went for an entire week. They had beard growing contests. You name it, they did it. So.
Okay.
I'll keep you informed and I'll bring back some proposals.
Sounds good. Item number 7, action regarding request for delegated municipal authority by the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services for commercial building inspection. Mr. Fuller.
It's a mouthful.
It is.
So essentially what I'm looking for tonight is the board's permission to become a delegated community to do commercial building inspections, which includes inspections of commercial buildings for structural, HVAC, fire suppression, and fire alarm systems. They're currently delegated already for electrical. And really what delegated means is we are the authority that has jurisdiction to say yes, this works, yes, or no, it doesn't. We, like I mentioned, we currently are delegated for commercial electric. Commercial plumbing, we do not need to be delegated for. That is the only trade right now that doesn't need delegation. So we are looking to do that so that we can have McMahon, who we're contracting with currently for commercial inspections, do commercial inspections and have final say. Otherwise, we will need to bring in the state inspector, and it just has created a somewhat delay in voters and contractors getting their inspections, just with coordination, or there's a duplicate inspection needed because you're bringing both entities in. So that's the intent, or that's what I'm looking for from you tonight. There's a lot more to it. I'm happy to answer more questions if you need it. But I just didn't want to get too far into the weeds. More at a high level, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay. And are we qualified to fill that role?
McMahon is, yes. They have a really good depth of inspectors that we have been working with for the past 6 months.
Okay.
And they do inspections throughout the state.
And then what's involved in getting that certification?
It's just filling out paperwork. The McMahon inspectors already have their credentials and license, or licensed inspectors. So it's just putting in their numbers, their license numbers, and then submitting the application to the state.
Okay, and currently it's the state that approves those.
Correct. So we will still, we could have the opportunity of the state doing plan review, or that's currently what they do now. We could have the opportunity to have McMahon or another group do plan review. Other municipalities do that around here, and it has, in certain situations, it's sped up the review process. But that's something that I would like to reserve for a future date, future discussion. Tonight, it would just purely be the inspection. So a builder or contractor would still have to submit for plan review to the state. They would have to get it approved. And then our inspectors would be approving the work based off of those state approved plans.
Okay. And are we planning to bring that those inspection services in-house at some point in time?
We are, yes. The electrical and plumbing might not be able to occur, but the commercial building, which again includes structural, HVAC, and the fire alarm and fire suppression, those eventually we would like to bring in-house. Electrical, I believe you need to be a master electrician in order to be a commercial electric inspector. So that's why, even prior to our current inspector, we've contracted that work out.
Okay. Any questions? I'll accept the motion on this item.
I'd move to approve that we develop this. Looks like there's a lot of pluses, efficiencies of scale with developers and all that, so I'll make the motion to proceed.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Deutsch, any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 8, action regarding 2023 street resurfacing project. We're getting to the season.
Yes. Work on this year's street resurfacing project has started. Those street projects are presented on the 5-year capital improvement plan. The 5-year capital improvement plan is a fluid document, and it can change on a year-to-year basis due to changing conditions to the pavements and to the utilities below. This year we're proposing to resurface 3 streets. We're hoping that with favorable bid pricing that we can take on more work. We've been able to do so with favorable pricing in the past. This year's project includes Longview Avenue from Libel Street to East River Drive, East Mission Street from Webster to Libel Street, Derby Lane from Riverside Drive to Webster Avenue, and similar to past efforts, we're going to have included in the contract alternate projects in the event that we get favorable pricing. Those alternates are Kenny Street from Libel Street to Jenkel Terrace, Van Buren Street from Alloy Terrace to Derby Lane. With your approval tonight, we'll move ahead with the bidding of these projects. When the bid results are known, then we'll bring these projects back to the Public Works Committee and to the Village Board.
I'm looking at the bar chart on the condition frequency report for paved. It would be interesting to go back 5 years and see what the 1-3 Pacer rating, how it's come down.
Okay.
Because we've been, just for information to show the progress we've made, because we have made, this graph has changed probably almost in reverse over the last 10 years for sure. It would just be interesting. And what is the condition frequency report unpaved? What's the unpaved road?
That doesn't apply to the Village of Alloy. I'm not aware of any gravel roads. Do we have any gravel roads?
No,
by Anchors
Park. Okay, Anchors Park.
Yeah, no.
What's that?
The end of Lazar. I think that's the only one.
Oh, okay.
I'm surprised, yeah. I can remove that from the exhibit.
Okay.
Yeah. Or would it be the area just west of the yard waste?
That's paved now?
No, because you've got the...
West of East River?
The closed section?
Yeah, that little closed section.
Yeah.
No. I don't know. I mean, it's not... still don't see a need to keep it for future, but that might be the other area that this references.
Yeah. I'd have to look into that. I don't know why that comes up. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, any questions for Sean? I'll accept the motion on this item.
I'd move to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Atwood.
Do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion? So we think that's going to come in somewhere around $500,000.
I hope so.
Okay. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve the 2023 street resurfacing project plan and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 9, action regarding agreement to prepare the Libel Street real estate acquisition legal documents. Mr. Jean.
So just recently we've started the real estate acquisition for the Libel Street project. That started with recording of the transportation project plan. Shortly after that, we had met with Strand Associates and Moss Associates, and it was brought to my attention by Randy Moss that nobody had included in their contract the preparation of the legal documents, and Randy had in his contract, his agreement, that the preparation of the TPP legal descriptions and documents were not in this contract, the responsibility of the villages. And I looked at Strand's contract, and their original contract had included the preparation of the legal descriptions and placement on a Word document. I just assumed that Strand was preparing his legal documents, and that wasn't the case. The information needed to fill out these WSDOT provided documents are the legal descriptions and information that is included on the TPP that has been determined from, in some cases, the title searches. I was a little surprised by the cost of this, but there are, roughly speaking, 94 documents that have to be prepared, and we need to make sure that they're done accurately and make sure that there are no errors, so that there are no hitches in the world. Acquiring the right-of-way and constructing the street project. The cost of this service is $15,000. Actually, it's a T&M contract, time and material not to exceed $15,000. I'm hoping that this task can be done sooner. The work is not a participating item, so to speak, for the state grant that we have. It's a non-eligible grant item, and because of that, it does require that we use a different contract means. We just happen to have a technical service agreement with them from a previous project that was in 2019. They would like to extend that contract for that agreement 8 years, so that we can quickly end the work or get started on the work. So there are really two parts of this. One, to get your approval to move ahead with this task order, and two, to extend an existing task order that we have with Strand 8 years from 2 to 8 years.
But they don't overlap, these two items.
What do you mean by overlap?
Does one rely on the other?
Yes, yes. They would like to use an existing technical service agreement that we had with them for the standpipe project that has expired. They'd like to extend the terms of that from 2 to 8 years. That agreement was in place in 2019. And with that in place, then they'd like to add this task order to that existing agreement. And that's I've been told that this will, on their end, simplify the process and allow us to get started on this task sooner.
Are the hourly rates identified in the other?
Yes. They had, yeah, that's a good question. However, this is, they didn't provide that. I had questioned the dollar amount. They had proposed a lump sum agreement, $15,000, and I said, well, you know, I told them I don't understand why this is going to take that kind of effort. You're taking a legal description that is already a task that is already in the original contract, and you can copy and paste that into a DOT provided form. They went on to explain, we have to look at title searches. There's an information for a title search that we may have to pull into the form. Somebody has to QC all these to make sure that there are no errors. And I did do some checking to find out that the number they provided isn't in line with what others bill for this kind of service. So I just recently had them change that. I don't know that they didn't provide that. That should have been provided.
Yeah, with a TNM not to exceed, we don't know what the hourly rate or rates are.
Right.
And if they're asking us to extend the current agreement, I would want to see the agreement before we extend it. I think that makes sense. We don't know what the rates are. We don't know what the conditions are at this point in time. And I don't know how that impacts this document. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. We'll just have to bring this back in February right away.
And will that work?
If I'll talk to Moss Associates, and I'll talk to Strand. If we have the whole special meeting, we'll have to do that. This is time sensitive, but you are correct. We should have provided that.
Okay.
President Rapper, just two questions on this. May I?
Yep.
So, to extend the agreement from 2 to 8 years, what is the fee to do that? How much more are we going to pay them to do that?
I hope. And they should be built into this.
Okay.
Yeah. It should be built into that.
And I'm just a little bit confused as to two companies that do this all the time. It was an oversight of a $15,000 expense.
Yeah.
On something that's already been approved, I would almost be inclined to say that's your problem, not ours.
I had the conversation with them. Randy, when we had the meeting, Randy indicated that it's typically the engineer's responsibility, and Strand came back and said, no, it's in our past experience, it's been the real estate professional that has prepared these. And my experience is somewhat limited to some smaller projects, the Doty and Webster Safe Road, the school project, where there were just a handful of legal documents that had to be prepared. And in that particular case, in both cases, at least for the Doty Safe Road, the school project, the engineer just put them together because they were responsible for the legal description, and that legal description is pasted on the legal document. And I didn't think that, you know, that kind of effort would be a big deal because I hadn't run into this before. But when you're dealing with 94 documents and you have to make sure that they're done accurately and there are no errors, I guess it can take some time. I'm hopeful that they can do it for less than 15. I'm hoping that they find out they can get through these a lot quicker than they thought originally. But they should provide me their rates and
rates and the estimated level of effort.
What's that?
Excuse me.
And their hours.
And the estimated level of effort.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's in line with the comments we're making in terms of understanding the hourly rate and things like that. And it might be just, well, you never know in terms of the wording of a document. Something along the lines where they have, you know, plus expenses not to exceed $15,000, that could easily be interpreted as the expenses are not to exceed $15,000, separate from the hourly rate. So if we can get a couple extra words in there along the lines of not to exceed a total of $15,000, if we're modifying. Let's make sure it's very clear, please.
Okay. And what expenses will they incur if they're providing the services? So,
the only expense that I can think of is the paper to print all these forms.
Postage.
They're preparing these legal documents for Randy to use as a mechanism to go out and acquire the land.
Okay. Yeah. So just find out what those.
Additional question. Sean, did you say you mentioned the 15,000? You consulted with somebody and they said that's not out of line for what this.
Yeah.
This type of thing could typically cost.
Yeah, the registered land surveyor that I talked to said you can assume $150 per legal document. So we quickly did the math and we had come up with a dollar amount, roughly speaking, $14,000.
Yeah. And then my other question, not fully understanding what we're talking about here, I admit that, but is this kind of a form of insurance? Like the $15,000 is not dollar, well, it is and it isn't compensation for their extra work. But by executing this contract, if things get sideways with a homeowner and there's a legal dispute and we're drawn into expenses there, does this document mean that Strand owns any problems? And
Strand is preparing the documents for Randy Moss's use to execute the land acquisition.
On our behalf.
On the
so this is no kind of insurance at all, really. No. Yeah. Got it. Thank you.
Okay, you got what you need on that one?
Yep.
Okay. Item 10, action regarding consent agenda. We'll take A through C. Do I have a motion on this item? Matthew?
Move to approve.
Second.
Second by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve the consent agenda and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 12, discussion regarding AECOM services. Mr. Fuller.
I believe it was August last year, the village board approved staff to work with AECOM in completing the final bits of environmental testing for the Zinbody project. So this work would include, the first part of the work was putting the vapor barrier there and installing the system. And now this work would be testing that vapor barrier, essentially, or testing if there are vapors underneath that system that we need that system to be activated, it was installed, or if it could remain a passive system. And we have been spending the last 4 months or so going back and forth with the DNR. And the DNR is trying to determine the proper testing method for testing the vapor barrier. So more or less just wanted to bring it back to you because there hasn't been any progress to date, and I just wanted to keep you informed that we're still working on it and still being done. The funds that were to be utilized for this project were allocated out of the TIF, so we would be able to, if the project took place down in 2023, we could do that, not a problem.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting as you're talking about that. Are we responsible for doing that testing? We don't own the land.
It was part of our development agreement to kind of wrap this up. The reason why it hadn't been done is you needed to wait a full year for that cap to be in place in order to test it.
Okay.
And then you needed to test it twice, once in the summer months and once in the winter months.
Okay.
And with with the project being wrapped up and everything, and then we rolled into COVID, this part of the project just was delayed.
Okay. Assuming everything's good, that would be nice. If it's not, and more remediation needs to take place, who's responsible?
The system that was put in place is passive right now.
Okay.
If it needed to be activated, that annual maintenance would fall on the property owner.
Okay. Okay. Any questions for Trevor on that? Thank you for the updates. When do you expect us to conduct the testing?
We heard from AECOM that DNR has just been short-staffed, so they've seen some bigger projects take longer than this. So they really weren't able to give us an estimated timeline.
Okay, thank you, sir. Item number 13, do any of my fellow trustees want something on a future agenda?
Just an announcement that Alloy is gracious enough to host the used shoes again for Hope and Olive. So we'll be doing the shoe drive April and May of this year.
Okay.
Start your spring cleaning.
Very good, thank you. Anything else? I'm guessing that was successful last year.
Yeah, we raised over about $5,000, and then we collected over $7,000 for the shoes.
That's cool. Okie doke. I will accept a motion to convene in closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E. Deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require closed session, specifically cell tower leases and developers agreement. We are not going to discuss the Wisconsin Statute 1985-1G tonight. Do I have such a motion?
So moved.
Trustee Sampson, do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Deutsch. Roll call, Trustee Harris. Seconded by Trustee Etlin. Any discussion? We are back in open session. We have nothing to report or vote on, so I will accept the motion to adjourn. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Deutsch. Any discussion? We have a motion to adjourn and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I thank you very much.